Oh, you guys, you're here. It's Comedy Film Nerds episode 493.
Graham, welcome back.
Thank you.
I feel like you've been gone for like 6 months.
It really feels like I was gone a long, long time. Mm-hmm. I was through Australia.
Well, with the time difference, you know, when I'm traveling to Australia, you lose like 6 months.
Well, I'm 97 years old. That's the thing is, I'm 97 years old, but I haven't aged.
You look terrific.
Thank you so much. That's what time travel does for you.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, really does nice things to your skin.
Thank you. I've seen the future.
Yeah.
And it's pretty grim.
Yeah.
I had a feeling it was going that way.
Yeah, you might be looking at the present. So.
I'm sorry. That's right.
Yeah, that's
exactly
right.
What happened.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So it was a good time?
It was great. The shows were fantastic. And I'm telling you, at every... Now, this is the Progressive Comedy Tour show, so it's all these, you know, Australian lefties coming out to our shows. But at every single show, there was at least one Comedy Film Nerd fan.
Awesome.
Who said... They all said the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you guys are ending. Mm-hmm. I understand why, but I just wanted to come thank you because you've helped me get through all this stuff, or you helped me my commute, and I've been listening to you for years in Australia. And they made a point of coming out to the show. Aww. Just
that's
to tell
awesome.
Me that.
That's so cool.
Like, it was really like... and so, you know, thank you so much to the Australian fans.
Mm-hmm. You've helped me.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've been fantastic.
Look at me. Look at me now.
I know.
You took a tiny orphan, made him into a man.
Right through the earbuds.
It really did. It really did. So, I mean, it was cool. I got to see CJ Johnson. I had dinner with him.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fantastic to see. He's doing well. Alice Frazier, I saw her. Mm-hmm. She actually opened up for us, our show in Sydney.
That's great.
And I saw Will Anderson. I did his Willosophy podcast, which I would listen to because we talk a little bit about, you know, why the show's ending, why the podcast festival. And, you know, we talked about that era. It was a,
you know, and moment in time.
Will said it when we interviewed him for Earbuds, which would be 5 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
He said either... This is going to, you know, podcasting is going to go away, or it's going to become this big corporate thing, or something. It's going to change. And either way, this movie is going to just be a snapshot in time of this like early podcasting.
For sure.
And what it was. And we were like, yeah, that was absolutely true. And I said, you know, the festival, the reason he and I are friends is because of the festival. Same with Alice Frazier. Yeah. It's because they came to the festival.
That's how I met them too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so... It was really cool. I mean, it was just beautiful being in Australia. I mean,
did you surf?
I surfed. Yes, I did.
Do you save any koalas?
I did. I saved three. And
with your surfboard?
With my surfboard. Yes, I rescued them. I did a surf koala surf rescue.
I want to see that picture. Yeah, I really do.
So do I. It was really cool. I mean, they're dealing with brush fires over there. It's pretty gnarly, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was at Bondi Beach last week, and we could smell it. And I was like, I woke up and I went, oh, I know this smell.
Yeah, from being in LA.
Yeah. And so it was, you know, people were like, are you scared about going there? I go, there was fires 5 miles
from
my
kidding?
House. Like,
yeah.
I just drove through the Sepulveda Pass where it's seared.
Where it was literally on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I live in a fire.
Yeah, you know, so it was awesome. And again, thanks again to all the Comedy Film Nerd fans that came out and listened to the show and all that stuff. It was really cool.
Very
one
cool.
Guy, I've sold a couple of books.
Awesome.
You know, but one guy, our last show in Perth, he goes, I had one Comedy Film Nerd book left.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I really want to get that book and buy it. Mm-hmm. I said, you got it.
So fantastic.
It was really awesome. So
awesome. Very cool. Well, you know, we've held down the fort while you were gone.
Yes.
Multiple episodes, but we are back. And one of the, you know, now that we only have a couple of episodes left, wanted to start getting some of the OGs back on the show. The ones that kind of started
the only
with
time
us.
That's ever been said.
Yeah,
about
yeah,
me.
Yeah. People that
when you think Matt Weinhold, you think OG.
You absolutely. Think gangster. Yeah.
You think street.
Of course. Yeah.
Thug life.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Genre life, genre gangster.
Yeah, yeah. Prison and, time. Yep, that's what I think. Neck so, tattoos. Yep. That's
oh, yeah, man.
So,
I only shop at like the real ghetto Gap.
Yeah.
but yeah, so Matt, you've been with this us writing
since
for us since the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, I'll never forget,
Here we go.
Oh, you're in so much trouble. I've had an axe to grind with you, you son of a bitch. No.
I felt it.
I remember the first year we started doing this podcast, we did like a live show or two at the Hollywood Improv.
Mm-hmm.
Before it became the lab and that bar, annex or whatever that was. And we did a live show and the new Star Trek movie had come out that we were all excited
for. Oh, I remember
and
that.
Matt went on stage and fucking ripped it apart in the funniest way possible.
Piece by piece.
And we were in the back of the room going, man, that's
frame by frame.
Frame by frame, saying that...
A space drill?
Chris, I remember space drill.
You made fun of Chris Pine's Captain Kirk. You're like, I can't believe... After watching this one, how did you put it? That like William Shatner was like a more downplayed. It was so goddamn funny, and it was such a like.
I remember Chris Hardwick afterward. I think he was there.
Right.
He came up and just like tore into me. It was great. Not in a terrible way, but it was funny. It was like, it's amazing the lines that people draw with that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny. And I was like, we had just started doing the podcast. We were maybe 5-6 months in.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is going to be good entertainment. It's great when we all agree a movie's great or we all hate it together.
Right.
But when someone comes on the show and goes, no, I have a different take on this.
I would recommend everyone who wasn't at that show to do a search on the Comedy Film Nerds website and pull up Matt's article, because it's a rather lengthy screed on the original.
I'm still angry.
Yeah, and it was literally
10 years later.
But what's fascinating too is Matt. He doesn't just get angry about it. He tells you why you should be angry too.
Yeah.
And it's point by point. It's scene by scene. And you know, for someone who liked the first film, like, oh, he made a lot of good points.
I thought the first one was fun. I listened to Matt. I was like,
maybe I am not deaf to the fact that I am also full of shit. You know what I mean? Like there are other movies where I would go like, oh, that worked for me, you know? And I have no leg to stand on.
Right. Well, thanks for working with us for the last 10 years.
Yes.
It's always a pleasure to
largely
be with you guys.
For free.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm paid in love and enjoyment.
Oh,
yes.
Well, aren't you a little angel?
So, want to get into some movies?
Let's do it.
Well, I saw Frozen 2 over the weekend, and with a lot of families.
There was a one?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
It was years ago. And I am a little surprised. It did very well, made a lot of money, but I really thought this was going to be like a Jurassic Park, like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was just be like a juggernaut, like a quick to go to $1 billion. It's doing well and making a lot of money, but it's not in that category or class.
I mean, the first one obviously did really well.
Yes.
I know you and your family loved it. So
phenomenal.
Sure, there was a lot of hype.
Absolutely.
Great songs, I'm
great
told.
Songs,
right?
Great songs, yeah. And inspired music, too.
Right.
Like really great all the way around.
But it just, for some reason, I didn't feel the overwhelming, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I think even the first one had more hype around it than the second one.
And after I see it, after I saw it, I'm like, oh, I know why. I know why they couldn't market this properly. Because if you look at any of the Frozen 2 trailers, they don't tell you a lot. And at first, I was giving them the benefit of the doubt, thinking, all right, there's going to be a lot of shit that happens. And
is it like a John Wick?
They're keeping it like a
revenge story.
Payback.
They're keeping it like, you know.
She's going off
like,
the reservation.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, she's got to take some revenge.
Don't piss off a snowman.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where I gave it the benefit of the doubt, thinking, all right, well, they're deliberately making this a vague trailer. They want to, you know, keep a lot of it close to the playing it close to the vest, because there's going to be a lot of huge things happening and epic things happening in this movie. Turns out that was not the case.
Okay.
Turns out not a lot happened in this film, and the story was so weird and convoluted. There was no villain, and
no villain.
Yeah, to the point where there was like, okay, well then I can see why you couldn't cut a trailer around this movie. So the movie to me, and this is again someone that really enjoyed the first one. Like when I heard Let It Go, when I first saw this movie, immediately in my head I'm going, this is going to win the Academy Award for Best Song. I knew it. I'm like, this is it. And sure enough, like a couple weeks later, that's all you heard. Anywhere that played music, that's the song you heard. Yeah.
Any speaker you passed.
Yes, yeah, that it would play that song. So I was excited to see this movie because I really enjoyed the first one, all the way from the characters, the songs, the story. And also, the first one did a couple interesting things with characters. Like, you know, your main character, like, well, is she the hero or the villain? Like, you know, is she, you know, she's got these powers. Is she going to turn evil? And, you know, and it's based on a Hans Christian Andersen story about a Snow Queen that is not great. So
It's about my wife?
Yeah, yeah.
right, guys? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Never mind.
So you had all these different things kind of happening in this first movie that you do not have happen in this one. In this movie, it's about this haunted forest, and our protagonists have to go in and calm down some forest spirits. I'm like, okay, well, this is an interesting setup. Where's it going to go from
here?
It's
just like a forest spirit intervention.
Yes, that's what, yeah, pretty much. And and then we'll find the secret
helpful of conjuring movie
of what happened in the history, like, you know, these with the indigenous apparently the indigenous frozen people that just appear, and then with the soldiers from the castle, like, you know, why can't they get along? Why are they still fighting? What's wrong with the forest spirits? So they shoved in the Pocahontas story into the Frozen universe.
What?
It made no sense. And then, like I said, there was no villain. It was they're just kind of walking around, and she's throwing off her frost powers and trying to calm these spirits. And then they stop. And like, okay, well, wait, what did she do that just stopped? Oh, well, she hit the one with ice. And like, okay, this still makes no sense that it would calm it down after that. And here's the interesting thing. You could make an amazing film that ties into nature and forest spirits and connectivity with the land. Studio Ghibli did it all the time. Everything from Spirited Away to Princess Mononoke. Avatar, the Legend of Korra, did an amazing
Avatar did a good job of, like, it had a heavy, like, environmental protection component to it. You could do that. You could put that in there.
I was talking about the Janet Varney show that, the animated one. That was actually,
but that one too, actually.
Yeah, but yeah,
when
that
you
had,
think about it.
But that's another way, as bad as that movie was, it was an interesting way to introduce an environmental message and you know, to the story. This movie did none of those things, and I'm thinking, well, what? Okay, well, that dropped the ball. Let's see, how are the songs? Terrible. Even the songs were bad, and it was one of those things that really felt like this was a sequel made by committee. And it really
felt
that
way. How does Disney let that happen? Yeah, they're so smart on so many levels.
I don't know what happened there. Everything was incredibly bland. Like, every single song felt like, oh, they're trying to imitate every song in the last movie. Like, everything from the beats to the tempo to, like, okay, well, this is
Grease 2.
Yeah, this is that's really what it felt like. And it's like, well, this is the
everyone remembers Cool Rider.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 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 Oh, my God. It's exactly what it felt like. It felt like those direct-to-DVD sequels that they used to make. Like, and like, okay, well, we don't really have enough money to make this, so let's just hire everybody we can for the least amount of money, and don't worry about getting anybody that was in the first one. But that's the feel like it had, although they did spend the money, and they got a lot of people from the first one. It just went off the rails. Like,
let's use the budget of the first one without the creative vision or talent.
That's really I was watching this even as as someone who's produced stuff. Like, where did the money go?
Where did the money go?
And I'm like, if you're paying all these people to do this amazing work, like, it's clearly, you know, what happened, because this is subpar all the way through. The only stuff that was not subpar was the technical aspects of it, like the animation.
Sure.
The everything was like leaps and bounds, like the way the characters moved, the detail, everything looked amazing. But, you know, so did the Lion King remake. Who gives a shit? I mean, I'm looking for a cool story, and especially with Frozen, like, better songs. Even my daughter, she was like, it was good, but, you know, I couldn't remember one song that they did. And I'm like, okay, well, this is a 14-year-old girl who's exactly the target for this. So it was really, really disappointing, and just because it was such a missed opportunity, especially because this was not thrown out a year later. This was years and years and years in development and songwriting. And there was Disney could and did take their time with this one.
Did your kids were they not on
They board? Liked it, but the overall consensus was, yeah, it was good, but first one was better. Like, no one thought, oh, this one was much better. Nobody.
When your kids are at that age where it's just like, yeah, that was good because it happened.
Yeah, you know, like, exactly.
We went out, and then we had pizza. Yep, so, yeah, that was good.
It was good. Right, yeah, it was still fun. You know, I got to go out and see some cool animation. And so, I mean, there was a couple weird, like, little trivia things, like Christoph's song Lost in the Woods is done in the style of a 1980s power ballad. The sequence even recreates scenes from well-known videos of that era, including those from the bands Whitesnake and Queen. Okay.
Kids love Whitesnake.
Yes. And
who doesn't? What kid didn't have a Tawny Kitaen lunchbox?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kid who was born in the 2000s doesn't remember a bit thing from 30 years ago?
And David Coverdale action figure.
Oh, get now the playset with the car.
Yeah, and I have to get the car. And oh, my God.
This is great.
So this is another great example of why this was like a complete swing and a miss. Like, first of all, why would you do that? It made no sense. Second of all, I love 80s power ballads, and I didn't get that read on that scene. Like, it was so kind of sloppily
put
together.
So even the joke for the parents missed.
Yeah, exactly. Even that missed. I'm like, what? This.
Yeah, we're getting into film for no one territory.
Yeah, we are. Totally. Yeah. So what's just so surprising
Let's
is...
Let's make a film for no one. Who's
they
with
They said
me?
It couldn't be done.
Yeah.
But we're Disney.
Yeah, it really felt like this movie, again, got noted and committed to death, and everything was just plain and boring. Now, you could have an interesting movie without, you know, a mustache-twirling villain, like, I'm going to burn down the forest. And that, you know, there's other, like I said, all those other examples, there's different things you could do.
Mustaches are in.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. But this one did none of those things. Like, you literally had a couple of the main characters basically stuck in this forest through the entire film, whereas the first movie just opened up. You had the castle, and you had all these different characters, and you had all this different interaction, and none of that happened in this movie.
I don't know about the original source material, the Hans Christian Andersen story.
Right.
Is it close to that in the, I mean, the first movie?
As close as Disney can get to.
Okay.
But so, not exactly. Okay. But it's, you know, it's more like a story inspired by, but here's one joke that I liked, but I also didn't get. You know, I didn't notice it at the time. In
Graham
a flashback,
and I are laughers. We like to laugh.
Yeah. And in a flashback, Prince Agnar said, it's like an Easter egg, he's reading a book by some new Danish author, which is an allusion to Hans Christian Andersen, whose fairy tale, The Snow Queen, inspired the plot of the original film. So that is a really
Your
long
kid
way to
must
go.
Must have just doubled
yes,
over
yes,
when,
like
when
a,
that happened.
For an obscure Easter egg. literary. So I don't know. It was I just would have loved to have been in that room when they were creating it. Like, who are we making this for again?
Yeah. I'm always on the fence when it comes to sequels, because sometimes there's what you just described, where it's kind of nobody really understood or had a clear vision for what to do with the second one.
Right.
Or it's like what happened with Guardians of the Galaxy, where they make the movie, it's a hit, and then a bunch of people go, oh, I know what everyone liked.
Right.
And it's like, no, we didn't like that. Yeah. No, we liked the other thing.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're giving us this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you which one happened, but definitely one of them.
It just when you said movie by committee, and it's the classic genre of movie for no one, as Matt said, it just reeks of a bunch of suits caught in there and went, let's focus group this to death.
Right, yes.
You have a creative idea? No, you don't.
Not anymore, you don't.
Here's a spreadsheet. You know, like,
we're in the movie business. We don't pay you to be creative.
Yeah,
we're really
stupid. They'll buy the toys anyway.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You're overthinking this, meaning you're thinking this.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was disappointing, I'm sorry to say. And even I was looking at, like, Leonard Maltin on Twitter, and he was saying, like, look, this movie's going to make a lot of money. It's going to do really well. I just wish I liked it better.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely getting very mixed reviews and deservedly so.
It's not horrible, though.
It's not horrible because there's always something to like especially even technologically. Like, just, you know, visually, it was beautiful in parts.
Yeah.
But,
I really liked the first one, but now you saying this, I will not see this.
Yeah, I don't.
I might go see the first one now.
Well, I would definitely
go
see it.
I'll go to my home and see it.
Yeah.
Run out and see it.
Yeah.
Go to the Frozenplex to see it.
Yes. Yeah, if you had a choice, I would recommend the first one at home first.
Okay, all right, okay.
So, all right, now let's maybe let our guests go next.
Yeah, let's do One Cut of the Dead.
Yeah, so Matt, tell us about One Cut of the Dead.
Okay, this is my new favorite film.
Oh, excellent.
And I think it's really good, actually.
Let me guess. It's
wait a minute.
It's a zombie movie?
Now, Matt just put his teacher glasses on, wow. So now we know.
He's settled in.
Yeah,
like he's going to tell us all about it.
I actually did bring one and a podium.
Yeah.
With a laser pointer.
Yeah.
Now, it is a zombie movie, sort of, but it's not really a zombie movie. Mm-hmm. It's a movie about making a zombie movie.
Oh.
It's a very clever film. It was directed. It's a 2017. It kind of had like a slow build, but it's hugely popular now. And it was directed by Shinichiro Ueda. And it was done for a budget of like 3 million yen.
Okay.
Which is like about, I don't know, like $25,000. It's just, it's all like unknowns. A guy, this director apparently just went to some workshop and studied how to make a movie and put this thing together. But the story is, so this is what happens. The movie starts with this, it's about a half hour film called One Cut of the Dead. And it is a continuous take for 30 minutes, a la Rope, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you follow this, and the story, One Cut of the Dead, the movie, the half-hour movie, is about a film crew making a zombie movie, and then they're attacked by zombies. A real zombie apocalypse happens. So you see this, and this is pretty effective just in and of itself. This half hour, one take movie. Mm-hmm. But there's some strange little weird moments in it. And you're like, oh, well, that's a kind of an odd choice to happen there. Okay. And you're watching this thing and then it ends. And then it cuts to like 4 weeks earlier. And it's all about this guy, this director, who is kind of known for doing schlocky stuff. And he's tapped by this company that's starting the Zombie Channel. And they want to do this one-cut zombie movie. And so it's all about this director's ability to put together this thing and have it work, this one-take movie, and also deal with these studio types that are, you know, butting in and making creative choices that he doesn't necessarily like. But he has this daughter who's a budding filmmaker who's on the other side of it, where she's like, you know, stay true to your vision. And the rest of the movie is them just putting together the cast, getting it all ready to be recorded on the day that they're going to do it. And then everything that goes wrong behind the scenes as they're making the movie. And it's delightful.
Well, it's a full feature, right?
It's a full feature.
Does it do things like while they do the 4 weeks ago thing? Is there, they do that thing of like, there's a little news report in the background going, oh, a new virus has been found, and they can't find a cure. Is there any little things like that in there?
It's really just about filmmaking. It's about filmmaking. It's kind of, the second half of the movie plays more like a farce. Like, I don't know if you ever watched or saw the play Noises Off.
I have, actually.
Where, you know, you have like three different versions of the show, which is the comedy and then behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And then the third act is after everyone's arguing and everything's breaking down, all the gags are all off. And this movie has a little bit of that where you get to see all the little bumpy moments that you thought were strange in the One Cut of the Dead half hour film are all explained.
Oh my God.
They hit everyone just perfectly beat for beat. And it's just beautiful. It really is. I mean, it's just handled so well. And it's one of the few zombie related movies, aside from Train to Busan,
yes,
where I was moved by the end of it.
Wow.
And I just thought it was kind of uplifting. And especially like when you get to the last scene. Like I kind of, you know, I felt a nice little happy place in my tummy. It was great. And it's a really good movie. It's a perfect horror movie for a family holiday. I showed it to my in-laws who are not really horror violence people, and they loved it. And to the point where they actually showed it to somebody else.
Oh, so where is this? Is like VOD or where? Yeah, you iTunes can, or
yeah,
something?
I watched it on Shudder.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I'm pretty sure you can rent it or download it, mm-hmm. you know, through Amazon or wherever.
Right.
But it's a great movie, and I know that you guys would love it because, I mean, you guys, you know, we all love film. So it also really gets into the weeds of just that trying, look, I'm just doing everything I can to make this movie work. And so this poor guy, this director, who's not really known, he's not known for, you know, championing quality. Mm-hmm. And he has to deal with the studios like, oh, we want to put this person in this role. And it's a pop singer who's got kind of an attitude or like a teen actor who is difficult and they have to deal with these personalities. But at the same time, you got to be a director and you got to make these people hit their marks and get the performances out of them. And then there are some problems that happen. I don't want to give too much away, mm-hmm. but it's so good. It's like, it's pitch perfect.
All right.
All right. We'll check it out for sure. One Cut of the Dead.
One Cut of the Dead, yes.
Now, Graham, you saw Long Shot. I'm just going to assume, I don't know for sure, but you saw this on a plane.
Yeah, this wasn't like director's cut that went through the theaters. Yeah, I watched a bunch of stuff on the plane. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about this because I remember when I saw the trailer, I was like on the fence. And there's some really funny moments in this movie. It's Seth Rogen. I know he didn't direct it, but there's, of course, a couple of gross out. He's got to go super gross.
Yeah, there's always a few in
he's
there.
He's got to do that. He just can't help himself. But and I know he's like, oh, I'm crazy, cutting edge. No, you're just being gross. You're not.
Is it funny gross, though?
Well, yeah, it's a little funny gross. So
I don't mind gross. Just the joke has to work.
The joke has to work. It's okay. And, you know, they make some good like social commentary points about a woman in power being asked different questions and treated differently than a man who'd be in power in a funny way. And there's some funny moments. There's some moments where you're like, this is not realistic at all, but
it's entertaining.
But it's entertaining.
Yeah, right.
And you know, it's a fine plane movie. And you know, Charlize Theron, she's a really good actress, and
I love her in everything.
She's
I really
great.
Do.
She really, and she knows how to play this well, and do the comedy of this, and so it's really, and the supporting people around her.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great thing of trivia. Speaking of supporting people, about Andy Serkis.
Yeah. So
yeah, the guy that motion capture guy that played Gollum.
Yeah. Does he play Gollum in this?
He accepted the role of Parker Wembley. He then developed an extensive prosthetic makeup design for the character, a makeup regimen that required hours a day to execute, even though nobody asked him to do that. What a sociopath.
That's fantastic.
Rogan remembered, we offered him the role, and then he was like, okay, and then he started sending ideas for what he would look like, and we were like, what do you mean? I thought he kind of looked a lot like Andy Serkis, but he was like, no, I got this whole thing. And we were like, whatever, man.
No, do it, yeah.
So, you know,
now I have to see this.
Yeah, yeah. There's just some.
You don't have to add prosthetics to every movie.
Everything doesn't have to be a mocap prosthetic weird. You could just be Andy Serkis.
Apparently it does, though.
Maybe he's afraid of showing the world who he really is.
A lot of masks.
A lot of masks, Andy. But it was really, which was. It was a fun movie and it was entertaining, and they work well together. I mean, obviously they were rom-com.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Something. Mm-hmm. Somebody. Somebody did a thing with the something.
Oh yeah,
I love that movie.
I remember that movie. Yeah.
It was a sequel, right?
Yeah, it was a sequel.
Not as good as the first something thing. Something. Something.
Didn't so-and-so make a porno? Wasn't that the
The porno somebody else, right?
What?
Kevin Smith.
Zach and Mira.
But didn't know the name he got her pregnant.
Mentioned.
Wasn't the South, Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron did a rom-com where... Whatever. One of those blonde, you know.
I'm with you. I'm still with you.
They did a something together when something happened.
We're going to go back in time.
Wasn't there
we're
going
to go to Australia,
thing?
And we're going to make this work.
Wasn't there that one thing where they were in space and then they went to an alternate planet?
Yeah, right?
And then she got knocked up?
One of them was a zombie. Yeah. I don't know. Did something happen?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
That movie's hilarious.
Oh, no, that was called Tentacle Baby.
That's right.
The gross-out humor in that thing works. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, it was a fine, entertaining thing to see. The other thing I watched, and I'm not going to talk about it yet, but I watched, there's a documentary about Carroll Shelby, the guy that created the Mustang and the Cobra.
Oh.
That Matt Damon is playing him in this Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So this documentary, I'm seeing it in reverse order probably, is the documentary. And it's all of Carroll Shelby's life, but it touches on this time period that I believe the Ford versus Ferrari movie is about. So after I see Ford versus Ferrari, which I'll probably see it this week, I will then discuss both of those movies.
Because one is probably backstory for the other one, most likely.
Yeah, because I'm just, all I can say, I'm watching the Carroll Shelby doc. I'm like, this seems like, just from the trailer, the Ford Ferrari seems like they got it wrong or something. That's just my...
Yeah. Well, maybe a little too much Hollywood polish.
Because first of all, Carroll Shelby is this like tall guy with this dark wavy hair, this big Southern accent. He's this big figure. And in the movie, Matt Damon's like, I'm nerdy Carroll Shelby that wants to win a race. And I'm like, what?
Aesthetics, too?
Andy Serkis made him up.
Yeah.
Andy, I need some advice. What do I do with this role?
I'm already, like, watching this doc is making me already skeptical of this Ford Ferrari movie, which the trailer looked fine to me. It looked like a good piece of Hollywood Oscar baiting.
I like those actors.
I like those actors. Yeah. And a race car movie.
Sure.
You know, I was a little bit of a gearhead when I was younger. Yeah. I'm in, you know.
Underdog story. You know, this is the only time, you know, a company like Ford is going to be the little guy.
Right. And it's, you know, more American exceptionalism. Yeah. The big bad Italians are making us Americans feel bad.
How Nazi was Ford around this time?
Yeah. It was his son. So it's Henry Ford II.
Okay.
So
okay.
A generation removed from Nazi.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good.
That's good.
Making progress.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So
every generation of Ford loses a little more Nazi. So,
now with less Nazi.
Yeah.
The Ford Token Taurus. A little less Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's that.
Okay.
You know, that's little,
I want to see it.
I would actually buy the car if it said a little less Nazi. Buy a Focus.
Buy a Focus. I will say this about the Carroll Shelby doc. It's an interesting doc, and it's really cool, and it's all this archival footage and all those race guys from the 60s with their, you know, glasses and their haircuts and everything, and it's interesting. It's co-directed by Adam Carolla, so it's just a movie made for Hot Rodders. That's all it is. If you're a gearhead, you got to watch this doc. Yeah. It's on Netflix.
Produced by Jay Leno.
I want to live in the world of movie hot rods, not the real world.
Yes.
Right.
Like I wanna hang with like Tura Satana, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, kill people in the desert.
Yes.
In a cool car.
Yeah.
In a cool car.
I wanna live in the Fast and Furious world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I have a hot rod that defies gravity. Mm-hmm. That can outrace a submarine.
Or a helicopter.
Can you clear something up about that series? Because I don't think I've ever watched one entirely.
Mm-hmm. You're missing out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I will take you up on that. But so the first one, though, is kind of about like street racing and stuff, right? They're... And then somehow it got into like it's Mission Impossible now where they're like down cartels.
It's beyond Mission Impossible. It's like, you know,
How did that happen, though?
As ridiculous as the Mission Impossible movies are, this is like, oh, well, no, this is the cars are driven by magic. Yeah.
No, it makes Mission Impossible seem like a grounded,
right? Yeah,
more of an authentic. Mm-hmm.
And do we pretend that Tokyo Drift didn't happen?
That's exactly what we do.
Okay, yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here's what happened.
I think you're right on the money on this franchise.
They made a cheesy street racing movie where they're literally like stealing CD-ROMs or something in the first one, and now they are like an international spy ring that has no jurisdictional laws at all.
Rags to riches tale.
It is
every movie
of American exceptionalism.
Yes. Every movie introduces another shadow government agency that doesn't have a name and that they don't have enough agents that they always have to go, you know, and find the stunt.
They have unlimited resources, and yet there's only this one team of hot rodders that can solve this international crime.
Yes.
To the best.
These movies are fantastic because it's like a Jurassic Park
with cars
roller coaster. Like it is that preposterous, and they know it's preposterous, and they're letting you know they know that okay. it's preposterous. So,
how about is there still, even though there's incredible stuff that the car will do, are there still like real car racing scenes? And
no.
Oh, no. Okay. No, that's all right. It. All right.
There's always a chase, but the chases get bigger and crazier.
There's no finish line on these right. races and chases. Yeah. And they involve helicopters, like Graham said, submarines. And I remember also watching it thinking that, okay, well, now they're getting crazier and crazier and crazier. But also, they don't really spend a lot of time with any logical plot devices or anything. Like, I think my favorite one was when they were one of the things that they had to spend the whole movie doing was trying to find Jason Statham's character. And they were trying to use all this technology to track him down and find him, but wherever they went, he kept showing up behind them. Like, why don't you just sit still and wait? Apparently he's showing up everywhere you are anyway. What's the, you don't have to find him. Apparently he's in the back seat. So
right.
stuff
imagine
like that.
Like It Follows, but you want that to happen.
Right. So it was so ridiculous. But the thing about these films is that they know that they know that they're ridiculous. So
well, that's good.
And they lean into it. So they make them more fun. Like a movie that takes itself seriously and tries to do all that,
that would be terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this movie knows what it is.
Okay.
Well,
I'm on board.
Graham, we have some Patreon sponsors for a couple weeks later. And again, you guys.
Angels.
Thanks for sticking with us to the end. Much, much appreciated. Like Johnny Rulon, it's got some short horror stories for sale. The first is called The Shell, and it's a Lovecraftian tale about a neighborhood that loses power and becomes victim to an unknown monster waiting in the dark. The second is called She, and about a high school held under the dark spell of an evil cult leader. Both right now are on Amazon Kindle for 99 cents, and you can get them by going to happyhorrorshowproductions.com and clicking the Buy Short Stories tab. And Fanboy Planet, a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing.
Fanboy.
Check out Fanboy Planet for your comics news, your movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with industry insiders and artists. Fanboyplanet.com. Fanboyplanet.com. And Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast.
Coffee.
About mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday, wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com. And the Art Podcast with Rebecca Evans. Thanks to Comedy Film Nerds for all the laughter and movie reviews. Look forward to seeing what's next. When we move past hesitation, we're true to ourselves. We find our own art in life. Hear inspiring interviews at theartpodcasts.com with an S. And Tony McFadden's 14th book is a gritty Australian noir, The Murder of Jeremy Brooks, Pitt Small Town, Australian PI, Dan McGuinness against corporate greed and corruption. A Sydney surgeon hires Dan to find her husband's killer. The cops think it was a mugging gone bad. She thinks it was a hit. More info at TonyMcFadden.net/JB. Matt,
a lot of talent
one?
Out there.
Yeah. You want to do one, Matt?
Do I want to do one?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Read one.
Oh, sure.
One. Yeah.
Let's slow this down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Normally, I want to see the copy ahead of time.
Yeah. I didn't think that would be as long of an exchange as that it was.
Where do I read this from?
All right. Never mind. All right. Andy Bowman, every week.
We're already over time.
Ariel and Andy get together, discuss, critique, review, and sometimes bicker about the latest in geek news and pop culture. Become
geek.
A listener and join the conversation by listening to Geek 101 Podcast wherever you download podcasts. And I will say, because I'm promoting this Kickstarter, I've been on Andy's podcast, Geek 101, Coffee Over Suicide, and Fanboy Planet this week. So I will be dropping on a number of those. Jerome Sullivan, calling on Hollywood and Netflix and HBO. I urge you to go to jcsscreenplays.com to check out the briefs of his completed movie and television scripts.
Sully.
Including a murder mystery, sci-fi action thriller, coming-of-age musical, a rom-com, and more. Visit jcsscreenplays.com. And a contemporary classical composer who writes music people actually like. Congratulations to Comedy Film Nerds for 10 wonderful years of podcasting. DavidHeinick.com, H-E-I-N-I-C-K.
Composer.
Yes. And
all boxes are checked.
Will Leonard. Will and Katie would like to thank Comedy Film Nerds fans and the Audacity Performing Arts Project for their support of her riding to end MS. We'd like you to know that she is riding again the Bike MS, Bike Texas, new course from Houston to College Station. All proceeds go to help people who are living with MS, as well as going to find a cure for this debilitating disease. Please go to willthetd, willthetd.com/CFN, to find a link to her donation page.
Texas.
Yeah, so check it out. So thanks again, Patreon.
I thought it was going
to
be
supporters.
Biking.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know.
So now.
That's the fun of it.
We've got two trailers, gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
There we go. These are specifically themed for Matt Weinhold because they are properties that shouldn't be horror movies, but are. The first one.
Okay.
Be ready.
What you can.
Fantasy Island.
Yes.
There is an elevator.
And the answer is yes, that Fantasy Island.
You press the button to the floor with no name.
Starts off as Lost.
Behind those doors, there's a life.
Is that someone doing tattoo?
It kind of sounds like it, yeah.
Blumhouse?
Yep.
What can't they do?
The plane. It's here. This weekend, you will be our guests. Here, anything and everything is possible.
No service. It's not everything is possible.
She's going to learn something.
Mr. Rurik, let me officially welcome
Michael
you to
Pena.
Fantasy Island.
Mm. Forcing an accent.
Fantasy Island!
I'm curious how this all works.
What if your fantasy involves a person from your life?
Holograms, like Tupac.
What if it's somebody who died?
Tupac.
See, because he died.
It's your fantasy.
Revenge on a childhood bully.
Just want it. I see it.
Your life is about to change.
I got it. Yeah, I want it.
I hope you're ready.
Music cut out. It's gonna get creepy.
What's happening?
Oh, lengthy stare.
Wow.
That is a really good hologram.
There is only one fantasy per guest.
Oh, that's kind of cheap.
And you must see your fantasy through.
It brought her back to life.
No matter what.
Oh, February. That's always a good sign.
That's really her. Rourke, this is not what I meant.
What the hell is this place?
People die here.
Now,
twisting what we asked for.
I need to tell you exactly what the stakes are.
We weren't brought here to have our own fantasies.
I want it. I got it. I want it.
We were brought here to be a part of someone else.
Oh, okay. Thank you for telling me.
I'm your friend. I've always wanted to hear.
Please explain your premise, because I can't get it from the trailer. Wow.
Okay. You know, this is...
I can't say I had a different reaction.
I'm filled with emotion because
me too.
Because if you just come to me and say we're gonna do a movie, a remake of Fantasy Island, I was like, that could be really cool because the Fantasy Island premise was actually
really cool.
It was really cool. I know it was on ABC's Friday Night Hour of Power or whatever. Right. They would do this back to back with Love Boat or two hours back to each hour long shows.
Never get those hours back.
You never. No. But the Fantasy Island had some Twilight Zone elements to it. Was
there were
some morality plays.
Here and there.
There was learning about everyone
it
learned
could
a valuable lesson
wherever they wanted it. To.
Yes,
Matt and I were talking earlier too. There was a remake with Malcolm McDowell playing Mr. Rourke that was a TV show.
I never saw that.
That was actually pretty good, but no one saw it. But it took all of those elements, like made it darker, made it more of like a Twilight Zone, but kept all the interesting morality lessons in there. And it blended like the fantasy with real world in a way where you're not really sure what's going on, which great Fantasy Island episodes did. And just it no one saw it.
Like you go back and watch Fantasy.
By the way, this isn't the answer.
Yeah, this is not the answer.
I will give it this. I will give the trailer this. You know how there are trailers where you're angry that they're giving away the whole movie? I'm thankful that they did that.
Yeah, because now I won't need to go.
Now I'm good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I saw it. We're good.
Yeah.
I can check that box. We're done.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, it just seems... I'll bet you when you're watching the actual movie, the buildup, even if you're kind of intrigued, that the buildup is just intolerable. Like, it goes on for 45 minutes before anything happens.
Yeah, and I bet you they just... You're somewhere in that buildup, you're like... Oh, I wonder if he's going to be the bad guy. Like, it's probably just going to be so obvious.
Yeah.
Could have been it. Could have been good. But all you right. blew it.
Now, the next one.
Now, this one I did see, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear your take after we watch this. Do you remember as a child, Graham, the banana splits?
Fa-la-la, yep. Fa-la-la-la. Mm-hmm.
No. Tra-la-la.
We are going to the banana splits.
Awesome.
Sometimes at night, I see the splits riding around in the little cars, laughing and singing.
Who's excited to see the banana splits? Yeah!
Rebecca! Rebecca! Rebecca, I'm canceling the show.
What?
Hey, kids, put on your happiest faces. Because the Banana Split Show is about to begin. One banana,
two bananas. Where are the children?
Mom, get out of here.
Time's almost up.
What?
Why are you doing this to me?
Dad, please!
Let me out! Now the show can go on forever and ever and ever.
Come on, you fuzzy son of a...
I just really want your brother's birthday to be perfect.
We're gonna have so much fun!
Now,
no, you're not.
Now, I thought, oh, well, that's a parody somebody made on YouTube. It's a parody show. It's not a real movie. Oh, no, it's a real movie.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I had to see it.
Of course.
Because... I'd love the banana splits.
You would have been awake at night going, you know, I wonder what that movie's like. I kind of have to see it.
Yeah. I mean, I have the banana splits. I have an episode on 16 millimeter. That's the kind of fan I am. I had the Mail Away record when the show was originally playing. I loved them. And
this magical amusement park. That you went, the premise of the show was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's
maybe
not,
but
in a fun, only in the 70s they could have come up
right.
with
it. Right, it had sort of, it was a Sid and Marty Krofft meets Laugh-In.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the songs were great. Yeah. Songs were genuinely good. There were some funny moments. They had a band that was like, it was like their nemesis was the Sour Grapes Bunch.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were these little girls who would just come into their place and they would either do like a little go-go dance that would knock them over, mm-hmm. or they would sing. And then that was the Banana Splits hated that, which I thought was hilarious as a kid. This thing, oh my God. First of all, they're not robots. In this, I'm going to give it away. I don't care.
Yeah.
You want to write letters? Go ahead. They're not robots. They were guys in costumes. So that's stupid. And I think we could probably all agree that once again, here's an example of a movie for no one.
Yes.
Who is this for? It's not for me.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing like the show that I was exposed to. Mm-hmm. And
so why make
a
movie?
It's not for any kids. Yeah, it's not for kids. Yeah.
If you're making a movie for people our age that grew up on the thing, then make that movie.
Yeah.
No, nothing. Nothing like it. They have the song. They have – and the costumes are terrible. And they don't do the impressions of the voices right. It's just – it's horrible. It's so horrible. And it's – I'm picturing that pitch. Like, hey, we're going to do a Banana Splits movie, but it's going to be hard. Stop. That's where it should have died.
Right.
You know, no. Why? Stop. Why would you do this?
Stop. Validate your parking. Thank
you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get him out. Get him out.
No, but I want to talk to you about the Bugaloo.
Get him out. Have you guys seen this?
No, just the trailer. I've deliberately avoided it because I would get nothing out of that film. First of all, I'm not interested in seeing those characters like you as in a horror movie. And even if it was a good horror movie, I knew it wouldn't be. It makes no sense. I wouldn't enjoy any frame of that film.
Yeah. I thought maybe if there was a connection to the 60s. Now, they kind of... They play fast and loose with the logic, obviously, all over the place. But that like, it's this long-running show. But then they add a human character who's like a part of the show that keeps – he's like one of their cast, their regular cast. And no, it was the Banana Splits. Yeah, they had people that would come on, the Sour Grapes Bunch and so forth. But it was really just this core group of guys in suits.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the more you start fucking with it, then you might as well not even do it at all. Like, why make up your own characters if you want to do a, you know, children's house, you know, who play characters going out of control.
Why license the property? It makes no sense.
No.
So, and I was wondering overall, is this like a weird trend that should stop immediately? Like, taking these old properties and turning them into horror movies? Like, or horror properties? Like, because it's weird, because this is two in a row. And I'm like, all right, well, it's twice. That's not always a coincidence. Is there going to be more down the road? I hope not. I hope people go, well, yeah, this was tried twice. It doesn't work. Good, good, good lesson to learn. Stop. So I don't know.
Do you think, though, that you could have done the Fantasy Island one at least better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think so. Oh.
Yes, because absolutely. Because the beginning of that trailer, the Fantasy Island trailer, I went, okay.
Little intriguing.
I was a little intriguing. Yeah.
Fantasy Island should have gone Twilight Zone, you know, not Hostile.
Yeah.
That's really where it should have gone.
Like, Mr. Rourke is the devil or, you know, whatever, something.
Yeah.
But Bloom, like, that's the problem with Blumhouse. So they come in, they go, well, we got to make a Hostile-y version of this. It's like, no, you...
Lowest common denominator. I don't know why this
like... Watch the source material. I don't know why that escapes so many of these dipshit Hollywood assholes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Blumhouse does some fine stuff, but why you don't have to make everything.
This was hostile. This was just a lazy approach.
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah. Like, this was like very low hanging horror bloody fruit.
Yes.
It's just like Fantasy Island, you missed such an amazing and both of them actually. Mm-hmm. You want to bring back the Banana Splits? Find me an interesting way to bring them back.
There could be a way to do it.
For sure.
Take a week and think about it.
Think about it. Don't just slap together two dumb premises.
Like Netflix did a prequel on the Dark Crystal, and it was amazing. There's ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Mm, it's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. And what they did, again, a great approach, is that, you know, you take the technology that existed back then, it's puppetry, but then you keep that core and you don't fuck with it. Oh, we'll just make it all computer. No, everything is still puppets, but then everything is added onto. Like, there's some visual effects, there's some stuff, but it's real subtle, but it just makes everything look a little more organic. But the bulk and the main focus of the show is the original artwork and the of puppetry.
Mm-hmm. We were talking a little bit on Monster Party about how... Especially when it comes to CGI. CGI is one of those things that just dates so quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because even when you're watching it at the time, you can go, oh, my God, that's incredible. And then 3 years later, you look at it and you go, oh, my God, that just sticks out like a sore thumb. We were talking about...
That doesn't look real.
No. Like, remember The Relic, the movie The Relic? And there's this creature that's on the loose in a museum. Exciting, right? And it's part of it is practical effects, Stan Winston, and then the other part is CGI. And the CGI, the minute the CGI kicks in, you're out. You're just out.
Right.
And so there's a reason why people have fond memories of The Dark Crystal. They go back. They like the puppets. Do the puppets.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You don't have to CGI everything.
And when you advance the technology on practical effects, that will withstand the test of time.
Yes.
Yep.
Because it's a practical effect. It's happening to that actor.
Yeah.
They're not screaming in front of a green screen.
I think that last Mad Max movie was a great example of that, where you had Fury Road, where you had, oh, these are great practical effects. Yeah, they were. But, you know, I remember our friend Todd Perry said, yeah, but there were still a lot of visual effects in that movie. But they're seamless because you actually have guys driving cars and then stuff is layered on top of it.
Yeah. I could have done with less layering myself in that movie. And I could have used a little bit more Max in that story as well. But I do like it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And back to what was great Charlize Theron?
Oh, always great.
Right?
But also, when it comes to practical effects, I always go back to, I think, the standard bearer, which is John Carpenter's The Thing.
Sure.
You can watch that movie right now.
Yeah.
And everything is just as shocking. Just as effective.
Horrifying.
Because creepy, it was good practical effects.
Good. Yeah. It was good.
You know?
All right.
All righty.
All right, so I want to talk to you guys about the Kickstarter, Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. It is going, but we definitely need your help to get to the finish line. We're probably about a third of the way. We've got 2 weeks left, so we really, really need your help. We want to really close out with one last win. Much, much appreciated. And like we said, when you pledge, you can then add your comments on the Kickstarter page, and I will read them. And some of these actually just came in today, so I want to thank you guys. And here we go. From Joe White, thank you for the many hours of enjoyment you provided. Love the last book and looking forward to this one. The spoiler episodes were a brilliant idea, and I hope you now both go on to have a lot of success and maybe drop the odd episode on the feed every now and again. The yearly Oscar picks with Doug was a great idea. Thank you again. From
we
Jesse.
Might do that.
Yeah, it's not,
you don't
it's
know,
not
you
impossible.
Don't know.
From Jesse. Hello, hello, I'm posting from China, I am.
throwback to the bad episode, the bad accents episode.
Any chance of doing another all accent extravaganza episode before you close up shop? Yeah, I've been listening for a long time. Chris, you and Graham are a great podcasting team and bounce off each other so well, although I am Team Graham forever with regard to Tree of Life.
Yes.
Sorry, Chris. Fair enough, sir. I'll miss the podcast, but totally understand your reasons. Looking forward to see what else y'all do next. And
thank you, Jesse.
From Chris. Hey, Chris, I missed last Kickstarter, but purchased the book afterwards. Loved it. That was long ago and far away. Can't wait for this one to drop. Hope it gets funded. Me too. Cheers, Chris from Australia.
Hey, what's up?
And from Jesse Miller.
A lot of Jessies and Chris's.
Yes, yeah, they are. It's it'd be weird if they're like they're all the same age.
That'd be great.
Too. It's it was what was that documentary with the three triplets found each other?
Yeah,
that,
that's what
they're all
is.
Andy
yeah,
Serkis.
Yeah. From Jesse Miller. Fuck yeah! Last a project where I can curse in the comments again.
Yeah.
I mean, you drop one F-bomb in the comment section of someone's artisanal tea cozies and suddenly you're a monster.
I'm so glad you're sponsoring artisanal tea
yes.
cozies. Thank you, sir.
All kidding aside, thank you for all the time and effort that you and Graham have put into Comedy Film Nerds. You guys were always a staple of my podcast listening, and your leaving will leave a hole in my listening lineup as well as my heart. I look forward to finding and supporting whatever new projects the both of you find. Also, I can't wait for Graham's graphic novel, which I assume will be one long Batman monologue about the values of a socialist government.
Done. Done. I'm going to start writing that today. Just Samurai Batman Socialist. That's what it's going to be called.
From Joshua Hammock. I cannot say how much I will miss you two in my earbuds. I may not and did not agree with your movie opinions, but you made me laugh so hard. I felt like I got to know you guys. I will miss you two, your two antics and points of order. I am saddened I will not get to hear more Marvel spoiler episodes with you and Jackie. And the Oscar preview with Doug Benson were some of my favorites. Generally, I would win the Oscar pool because of the two of you. I would politely not select Chris's choices. So, again, fair enough. Because I get Oscar baited on a couple of these things where I just have these weird tangents that I grab onto that have no basis in reality.
No, and they're not in line with any of the Golden Globes or any of the trends that are happening that have just happened in the awards season.
Yep, they only happen in my head. I don't know how it happens, but yeah, it's
drunk on a movie.
I can't argue with any of these.
You pick what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is not the way to go.
Yeah. Good luck with your future endeavors. I can't wait till the reunion shows. I will miss you guys. And from Will Leonard, Chris, thanks for everything you've done for us as well as all the entertainment you've given us. The Kitten Hand Army is still here waiting to pounce. Just keep wiggling the laser pointer.
Nice.
Megan Corbin, thanks Chris and Graham for the wonderful memories. Your indie perspective will be missed. I'm a hardcore movie and Oscar junkie thanks to you.
Oh.
Cheers to your next chapter.
Thanks, Megan.
And Andy Bowman, thanks for 10 years of Comedy Film Nerds and giving me the chance to plug my podcast on your show. I wouldn't have it without CFN. I'll be closely watching all of your future
endeavors. Thanks, Andy. These are so sweet.
So aren't these awesome?
Oh,
and
it's beautiful.
I wanted to add this. Anything you guys want to say and on the comments, but if you guys want to ask questions too, like last week somebody asked a question for Mark Wade. So I'm like, if you want to ask Graham and I questions, that's totally fine. You know, just, don't make it too weird, but you can make it a little weird. So
those will be my questions.
Yes. But I really appreciate you guys. We only have 2 weeks left, but we can get to the finish line. But we definitely need your help. The thousands of you listening, if you like the show for the last 10 years, help us go out on a win. One last project that can get funded that we could finally make the movie for. So, and there's some great tiers. There's a lot of stuff left. There's still two spots on the last Comedy Film Nerd show. One is gone, but you can definitely, there's two left. And all of the Spend an Afternoon with Graham Elwood are still available. Yeah. So,
Graham, tell
us a little bit about that.
I will take you either surfing or we will have a martial arts class. Your choosing.
And can I have both?
You can, if you want, Matthew, you can have both of those. If you want to double up, I'll take you surfing and then we'll do some martial arts training.
My martial arts are a little different.
I don't know whether to be scared or creeped out.
Both, please.
Yeah, I was going to say, it could be both.
But we both win at the end.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, I guess I just added a new weird creep tier.
Yeah.
A Matt Weinhold creep tier.
Fair enough. And you can actually get your name in the book. You could pick the Temple of the Obsidian Dragon, or the Temple of the Golden Dragon. There's tours of Starburns, the animation studio that obviously does, they did Rick and Morty, Anomalisa, Moral Oral, and Animals on HBO. So you get a tour there. Digital Library from Starburns. There's a lot of really cool stuff there. And one of the things I wanted to say on the show today, how about this, Graham? What do you think of this? If we fund, we will do a Star Wars spoiler app.
Okay. I'll make that. If this funds, we'll do an extra Star Wars spoiler. So it'll be episode 601.
Yes, it'll be 601. We'll do a Star Wars spoiler app.
But if it doesn't, no. You get nothing.
All right. That's good incentive. All right.
I'm excited.
Yeah. There's a little, CFN might live one extra, extra episode.
Yeah, just might do it.
All right. So I'll do a Star Wars spoiler app. If this thing
comes. In costume?
Yeah.
Good in costume. Don't cost him.
All right. I guess we'll live stream it if you want us to.
That'll be a stretch goal. If it overfunds by a couple thousand dollars.
If it overfunds, then we'll wear costumes.
Yeah, we'll wear costumes.
Okay.
Into it.
All right. We'll live stream it. If it overfunds, that's a stretch goal.
See what I do for you listeners?
Yeah.
It's amazing. You've added a creep tier.
Yeah.
Star Wars costume episode. Tier.
Yeah.
And I make dreams come true.
And a weird stretch goal.
So, and nightmares.
Oh, we're going to make Aaron fire up the cameras in here then. And we'll have to get costumes. But where would we be able to find Star Wars costumes? This is going to be crazy.
Oh, forget it.
I know.
Wow, I know a guy, but...
I don't want to know your guy. I don't want to know your costume guy.
You taught me everything I know.
Yeah, he already...
Some weird he already furry bought the creep cosplay. Yeah.
He gave me my brown belt.
Yeah.
Good times.
Oh my god.
All right.
So there, now you have it. You got all these bonuses now to pledge to the Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master. You could go to Kickstarter, type in Rise of the Kung Fu Dragon Master, or you could just go right from the link at the Comedy Film Nerds homepage. All right, Graham, we have a couple DVDs, not many. We have Angel Has Fallen.
Yeah, of course it has.
And Where Did You Go, Bernadette? That's what we have on DVD and Blu-ray.
If you could mash these two movies up,
I think so. That would be really cool.
You know, suburban mom wife just has enough and she just leaves and then rescues the president from a terrorist plot. Like that.
Charlize Theron, yes. Seth Rogen.
Yeah, exactly. Where'd you go, Bernadette?
To save the world. Yeah.
Red wire, blue wire. Yeah. I don't give a shit. Do it.
And I'm like, oh, this conspiracy goes all the way to the top. Bernadette, don't you understand?
Yeah, don't you? You're in too deep. You're wound too tight.
Shouldn't they do a movie where it doesn't go to the top? It just goes to like the middle.
Some mid-level assholes causing problems.
Yeah.
It goes to like the city council and then just stops.
Yeah. And then when it gets to the top, oh yeah, we fired that guy. We're done. Yeah.
All the way to the school board. We had a town hall and we took care of it.
Yeah. The guy voted out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's done.
They're paying back the guy. He stole money. We paid it back.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
It's all good.
The school lunches are funded.
Yeah. School lunches are funded. The money's allocated for solar panels on the school. We're going to still do that. It just got delayed. Don't worry.
If we can't get a meeting for this, come on.
So, and premiering this week, Knives Out. I cannot wait to see this movie. This looks great.
What is this now?
This is the thriller, the Rian Johnson thriller that has James Bond as a detective that's trying to solve a murder mystery.
Yeah.
And but it's like kind of a weird family kind of drama. I'll tell you, it's... it couldn't be better release date, like of like, oh, Thanksgiving. Sure. When all we're, you know, a bickering family that are kind of killing each other. Fantastic. I'm on board. I can't wait to see this movie.
I'm intrigued.
Queen and Slim. This is an interesting movie. It is getting terrible reviews on IMDb, but very low rating. But honestly, the trailer is making it look good. Yeah. I'm very curious. It's a traffic stop gone wrong, and I think the cop gets killed. But then these African American couple then have to go on the run. Mm. So there's some interesting things in the trailer of like, it was an accident. This was awful. And then there's, you know, they're finding support. We're like, yeah, I get what you're saying. And, you know, Power, I love what you did. I'm like, well, no, I didn't mean to kill. It was an accident. But, and then it escalates from there. And it looks like from the trailer, it goes to some interesting places about race and police and, you know, society. But IMDb, the reviews are not matching with the excitement of the trailer. So I don't know how this movie is going to be. It could be one of those movies that's really poorly put together, but the trailer editor spent an extra week on it, to make it look interesting. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see about this movie.
All right. Well, that's episode 493, folks.
That is it. Welcome back, Graham. Good to be back.
It's good to
be
back.
Yeah, good to have you back.
Please join our December 12th final episode.
Yes. That special guest list keeps growing.
Keeps growing. Mm-hmm.
Steele Saunders, Tom Merritt are now joined. Yep.
It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Will Anderson said he might record something for us to play. He was going to try to actually fly out for it, but
great.
He's too busy doing, he's got a TV show or whatever in Australia, so... go to GrahamElwood.com or DynastyTypewriter.com to get tickets for the show. It's the last one. It's a live event. We're having a party afterwards.
And it is selling out. And a lot of, I'm getting emails, especially through Kickstarter and people that are buying stuff in the store. The store is open again, by the way. People are buying our final
merchandise
in the store. People are flying out for the show, which is really cool. So I want to thank you guys. Yeah. That's going to be really great to see all of you. A lot of you have said, I've got my tickets. I'm flying out. I can't wait to be there.
That's great.
It's going to be really cool.
Matt Weinhold, where can people listen and watch you and all that business?
Well, I mean, really, what we're talking about here is Monster Party. The Monster Party podcast. You've done the show.
It's great.
You know what it's like.
So much fun.
It's a party. It's an actual party.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on the length of a party.
Yes, it does. I block out my calendar.
There you go. Oh, okay. It's a full night. It's drinks. It's food. It's merriment.
Yes.
It's dysfunction.
It's so great. I remember just eating really good Thai food. And then talking about, I don't know.
All the stuff. You did the Who Would Win.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Come on. How much fun is that?
That's so fun. Who Would Win in a Fight is a great one.
It's always good. And
I remember my wife always asked me, you're doing a podcast. When are you going to be back? And the answer is always, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Dawn.
Yeah.
But we do this podcast, and it can be found anywhere good podcasts are found. I do it with my friends, my good actual nerd friends, Sean Sheridan, Larry Stroth, and James Gonis. And
they're all great.
They're all
so much fun.
Yeah. And they're a bunch of kooks, and we really love each other, even after all this time doing this show. Incredible.
Well, right on, folks. So go to the Kickstarter if you want us to do a Star Wars spoiler ep. And then December 12th, join us at the Dynasty Typewriter. I'm doing progressive comedy tour shows in Southern California, December 13th at Ventura Harbor Comedy Club, December 14th at the Sycamore in Hollywood, and a bunch of 2020 dates are all at GrahamElwood.com.
So definitely check that out. And thanks again for the Kickstarter support, and we'll see you at the final show. Thanks again, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you to Matt Weinhold.
Thank you.
Thank you to Aaron Brungard and everybody at the All Things Comedy World Headquarters. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
McClunky.